Amen. Well, it is good to be here as always. I appreciate the Lord letting us come. And the singing and preaching fellowship of you folks, it's always a blessing to be with you. Sure enjoyed the message, Brother Wampler. It's good. Thank God for it. Appreciate Brother Robert. He's always been a blessing. Appreciate his personality and the way he handles things, just that quiet, tender, gentle way about him. I appreciate the Lord letting us get acquainted many years ago. And it's just a joy to be here again. And to get to take part of another meeting this year. Let's all stand this evening. I'll try to be brief and just give what I feel like the Lord would have for us this evening. Some things God just dealt my heart on, and nothing deep, nothing that'll nobody go out here saying, "Boy, you knocked it out of the park today." If I can just get in the park, I'll be all right. And anyhow, it's good to see some friends. Still looking over the crowd, seeing who's here. A lot of folk here that I don't get to see but once a year. But someday, I was listening coming down the road about some songs, and isn't it good to know that someday we'll get to be together forever? Amen. Never no parting, never be no separating. We'll just be together forever. And I sure long for that day. We've had a difficult spell at our church in the last while. We've had, oh my, the deaths we've had. Had two of our men at the church. Both of them lost their mother on a Monday morning. One passed away at 9 o'clock, the other passed away at 12 o'clock. And then we had the oldest member of our church has been faithful to me ever since I've been there. Just buried him 3 weeks ago this past Friday. And just one right after another, and still got a lot sick. And I'm glad there's a heaven, ain't you? Old-timers rejoiced about it. Old-timers rejoiced about heaven and what's waiting. Somehow we've lost sight of that. In our modern society with nice houses and nice cars and nice clothes, and we've lost sight of where we're going and that we'll get to be together one day. I want you to turn to some very familiar scripture. This is just what I've got on my heart. I can't help it. Luke chapter number 9 and Luke chapter 14 and then John chapter 3. I know it's a lot of scripture. Luke chapter number 9. I can just say some things maybe to help you and encourage our hearts here this evening. In Luke chapter number 9, if you would please, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 18, Luke 9:18, the Bible said, "And it came to pass, as he was praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say ye the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. He straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and at his Father's and of the holy angels." If you be patient with me, look at Luke 14, a very kindred passage. Luke 14, please. And look at verse 27. Luke 14, 25 it is. "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so we've got the words, the rest of this, about counting the cost of service. I want you to look at one other passage, please, in John chapter 6. I think I said John 3 a moment ago. And these are words that are very familiar to all of us. Every preacher here has preached on them, but that's where the Lord would have us this evening. In John 6, 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doeth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning, there's that omniscience, Brother Wampler is talking about the omniscience. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, been one of the 12. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for the time to be together. Lord, to meet again with your people here, fellowship and rejoice around your word and songs. Thank you for the good message we've already heard. I pray it would be settled in our soul. Then, Lord, help me this evening to speak in a way, God, that will bring glory to you and helpful to your people. We love you and praise you for all you've done, all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to just take a minute, if I can just get one little point out of this, the main point, maybe that'll be enough. On Saturday, God really dealt my heart about this. I want to talk to you a minute tonight on, or this evening, on why would anybody want to lay the cross down? Why would anybody want to lay the cross down? People are leaving the church today in numbers more than it's ever been in the history of the world. They're leaving the church. To many of them, the sad thing, they'll leave to turn around to never walk again with the Lord. Almost weekly, I talk to some pastor about some family in their church that has turned around and turned back and left the work of God. Yeah. It's no new thing that we're seeing today. It's always been. It happened in Jesus' day. It happened in Paul's day. It's happened in every preacher's ministry here. And it'll probably happen again. The religion of the day, it's awful quiet out there. Maybe it's just the way I'm talking here a minute. The religion of our hour is a Christless, careless, and crossless religion. I want you to repeat that statement. It is a crossless, a careless, and a crossless religion. I got to thinking about in this passage in John 6, I got to thinking about just gleaning a little word or two from it about those people that turned back and walked no more with the Lord. I got thinking about some things about them. I thought about the attitude towards the Lord's word, their attitude towards the Lord's word. Look at verse 60. He said, "This is an hard saying." Many, therefore, of the disciples went back. They turned around and they heard this and they said, "This is a hard saying." You look up that word hard and it really means harsh. It means rough, stern. It literally means violent, intolerable, or fierce. They didn't leave Jesus because of the miracles that he did. They didn't leave him because he fed them with bread. They left him because of what he said. Don't feel offended if people leave you. If you don't say much, you'll get along with them. But when you start saying certain things, that you have trouble with them. Amen. Some of the words of God in the Bible, and I just wanted to skip through this, but some of the words of the Bible are the message like Ahijah had to bring to Jeroboam's wife when he said, this is a heavy tidings. Some things will be heavy tidings. Some of the words will repel some people while it'll compel others. Some it'll cause God's word to remove some while it'll restrain others. It'll help some while it hurts others. It'll be a lamp unto some's feet while it's a lash unto others' back. It'll save some while it sentences others. I'm just saying this, when their attitude towards God's word was one thing it caused them to turn. But there's their anger at God's word. He said, there doeth this offend you. And that word offend means literally to put a stumbling block or an impediment in your way. I could really say a lot right there. Jesus is saying, is what I'm saying to you, is this putting an impediment in your way? Is this hindering you? Is this a source of an entrapment and getting trapped up and entangled? He's saying that they got angry at the word of God. And may I say, many of us today, they'll get angry at us if we say very much at all. Somebody help me here. Not only was there their attitude towards the Lord's word, there was their anger towards the Lord's way, but then there was their abandonment of the Lord's walk. They went back and walked no more with the Lord. In other words, these people laid the cross down. They laid down the burden of what God was trying to do and say in their life. And I've seen it and you've seen it, and we're probably going to see it again, that people's going to leave us based upon what we say. Now, I know this, I really believe this is where the Lord wants us today. I got to thinking why, and I got to come to one thing I really want to say in a minute, but I got to thinking why. I got to asking myself the question why. We just went through a tear-up at the church. We've been years and years with no tear-up. We've went forward for years, but our piano player just got tore up and tore a family up and took a bunch out. It really hurt her choir and at Hunter Church and so on. And I got to asking myself why. Let me just take a minute and give you four things that came to my mind as to why people lay the cross down. Number one, I think many of them lay the cross down because they wasn't born right. I think that we're not born right. John said this in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I believe a lot of reason folk go back on the Lord and they lay the cross down. They were never born right to start with. I believe a lot of them just never were born again and saved by the grace of God. Somebody help me out there. I believe that's right. I believe a lot of them just never were born right. I believe a second reason some just turned around and left and laid the cross down, they just didn't believe right. They just simply did not believe right about the Scriptures and the Savior and salvation and sin and separation and the role of the shepherd. Amen. But some, Jesus said, verse 64, there are some of you that believe not. Can I take just a minute to say a word about that? Jesus is talking in this verse about Judas, but he's talking about more than Judas. He said, there's some of you in this crowd that's been following me that have never believed right. Amen. A lot of folk just don't believe right. You can think a lot, take that and carry it everywhere you want to. They just don't believe right. Things that I believe and our church believes, folks come in and they may get on in a high meeting and they get on a good service and shouting going on, everything's wonderful, and then they stay around another two or three meetings and you find out they did not believe what you believe. Amen. Amen. I could say a lot. I got to go on. A lot didn't stay. They laid the cross down, not only because I wasn't born right. They didn't believe right. But a lot laid the cross down because they just wanted to behave right. Amen. I was hoping it's going to go out a little better than it's going out. They just didn't behave right. Amen. My piano player that just got tore up, she came 23 services last year. I found out she's letting her daughter, who's 15-year-old, sleep with her boyfriend in their own bed at the house. Had to bring her in and deal with that. She threw a fit on me. All her family got tore up. Her in-laws got tore up. They all left. Went to the church where the pastor that I drew the blueprints to our church and built the church. He took the blueprints, built the same building I've got, helped him build it. He's never called or nothing, and all of them went to his church. That's lame, buddy. Amen. I'm not here just complaining. That's lame. Amen. A lot of folk just don't want to behave right. Now, I want to make a statement. I'm not trying to be mean. If they don't want to behave right, I don't want them around no way. Amen. I hate to lose anybody, but some folk just going to lay the cross down because they will not behave right. Amen. 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 Brother Willis says amen to hello Tokyo. Some of them don't want no direction. They don't want no discipline. They don't want no instruction. They don't want no correction. They don't want no rebuke. They simply will not behave right. And that's the reason. Don't be hurt when they turn their back on you if they will not behave right. And some wasn't balanced right. A tire that just wobbles on the hub all the time is just not balanced right. And somebody that's all the time wobbling and giving you trouble at the church, they probably just ain't balanced right. Amen. I'd preach better than this, but this is just where the Lord had me tonight. Why would anybody want to lay the cross down? Many of them wasn't born right. Many of them didn't believe right. Some of them didn't behave right. And others of them just wasn't balanced right. With all that being said, probably everybody in this building at times has thought about laying the cross down. Just last Sunday, a week ago, a friend of mine, whom I know a lot of pastors and preachers, I'd count this man to be among the top 5 preachers that I know. He called me to confide in me on Sunday a week ago. He said, "Preacher, I am the most discouraged I've ever been." He'd been in this church 34 years. He said, "I'm the most discouraged I've ever been in 34 years. I'm just thinking about just giving it all up." I know that sounds awful. But there's times in all of our lives we've just felt like, I have thought about it. I've been tempted to do it. A time or two even tried to do it. And I've been told to do it. But they just something like Jeremiah. Shut up in my bones. They just something inside of me that just will not let me lay the cross down. Why would anybody want to lay the cross down? Let me say one thing, getting about supper time. Just say one thing, if I can say that, maybe not the rest of it. When I think about the price of salvation, let me say this first. I've seen people who laid it down. I've never seen any pleasure in it, any peace in it, and any prosperity in it. I've never heard anybody tell me that was the best thing ever done. Living the best to ever live. But I tell you what I have seen. I've seen buckets full of tears of people who laid the cross down. I'm trying to say to you today, there is no reason and no place. When I think of the price of salvation,
what it cost us to get saved. What it cost Jesus for us to be saved. Do you remember what you were before God saved you? Some of us weren't raised in church. I mean, I could tell you all about the wickedness of my family and myself, but when I look at how what Jesus went through, I cannot, and I'm saying it honestly, when I'm reminded of the great price that it cost our Savior to give us salvation, I cannot lay the cross down. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When I look at what Jesus went through, if I could get this across our heart today, we've all often felt like it, thought about it. Maybe you haven't. Maybe I hope you haven't. I'm just being honest. There's times, I felt like getting a job selling cars would be easier than what I'm doing. You ever think about the words of the song? I'm just going to give you this little piece and be done here. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. What about that? Knowing not that for me he died. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can sing of Calvary. Mercy thou was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, saving the cross of Christ my God. All the vain riches that said that, all the vain things that thrill me most, I sacrifice them to thy blood. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what Jesus Christ went through at the cross to get you saved, to get you where you're at? Amen. How can you lay the cross down when you think about what the Lord did for you? I think of how he suffered for us. Help me, Lord. When I'm reminded of how he was bruised and beaten and battered and broken, I can't lay the cross down. This ain't preaching the way I hoped it would, but when I'm reminded of how he was resisted and rejected and reviled and raised up on a cross, I can't lay the cross down. When I'm reminded how he was slapped and spit on and stripped naked and stripped to the cat o' nine tails, I can't lay the cross down. When I think about his lashes on his back and the gashes on his face and the gaping wound in his hands and feet, I can't lay the cross down. When I'm reminded of his afflictions in Gethsemane, his abuse in Gabbatha, and his agony in Golgotha, I can't lay the cross down. When I hear him cry, I thirst. I can't lay the cross down. When I hear him ask the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't lay the cross down. When I see the blood run down his face, through his body and onto his feet. I can't lay the cross down. When I see the unbelievers mocking and laughing at him, I can't lay the cross down. I'm trying to say, why would I want to hurt him worse? If there's anything that ought to compel us to live on and carry the cross on, it ought to be that Jesus bore his cross all the way to Calvary for your sins and mine. He picked it up. Sure, it was heavy. Sure, it hurt. Sure, it was a humiliating thing. But he picked that cross up. And he carried it all the way to Calvary. I told one of my ladies recently, it comes two drops of water, she stays home. I said, I'm sure glad the Lord don't act like you do. I meant it too. I meant every word of it. Sometimes, Brother Jeff, we get weak and weary and tired and worn and feel like we're beating our head against the wall for no reason. I told my wife some time back, I said, sometimes I feel like I have given my life in vain. Folks don't listen to what you say. They don't do what you preach. That's the truth. I don't care what you say. Preach your lungs out and they'll go out the door and do just opposite. And you just get so tired of it all. But I want to tell you something. If you ever labor under the yoke of Calvary, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And we minister under the love of the cross. The truth of the cross saves us. The theme of the cross subdues us. The thrill of the cross secures us. It's the cross. We missing the point. It's all about Jesus and what he did for us. Amen. I know these are just words to songs, but I wrote these words down Saturday night just before I went to bed. At last, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that he had done, that I've done, he groaned upon the tree? Amaze and pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. It is all that I can do. I've got a whole outline, but I'm going to stop with that. Hear, Lord. Hear, Lord, what? Hear, Lord, that he so gave himself for me. What price is too great to give to him? Somebody asked, forgive my mind, I can't even think. What was that great missionary in China? Who was it? Huh? Taylor, that's the one. I don't know where my mind went. In a missions conference once, somebody asked Hudson Taylor, what great sacrifices have you ever made for the Lord? Hudson Taylor said, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Me sacrificing something for him who died for me? It is no sacrifice. Let me just mention a second thing I'm done. It's the best I've ever preached. When I think about the price of salvation, I can't lay the cross down. When I think about the punishment of sinners, what they're going to have to endure if somebody don't keep the cross. I'm closing here. Many years ago, I got a phone call one morning. This lady said, "Is this Preacher Mullins?" And I said, "It is." She said, "This is," I don't remember the lady's name, it's been a lot of years ago. And she told me where she lived, back in the coal mining country. And she said, "My boy got killed yesterday in the coal mines. I don't know any preacher." She said, "You're the only preacher I know of because I listen to your radio program. Would you come hold my boy's funeral?" I said, "Ma'am, I will." I drove way back in the mountains, had to rent a four-wheel drive, get way back up in the mountains to where she was. And it was an old coal mines that opened up way back in that mountain, and they closed it up, and her boy was going up there as a drunk and dope addict. He's going up there and mining some old coal out of it and selling it to get enough to get him some liquor with. I went to the house and knocked on the door, and this door opened just a little bit, and this old lady came to the door, and I recognized right off that she was blind. And she said, "That's you, Preacher Mullins. I can hear your voice." And I said, "Yeah, it is." She said, "Come on in." And I went in and talked a minute, and she told me about her boy. And she said, "I don't have a ride to the funeral home or nothing. I was 2 hours away." And she said, "Would you come get me in the morning, take me to the funeral home, do my boy's funeral?" I said, "I'll be there." And I went in. There was a little old garden gate. Walked through the garden gate and through a little entryway-like and up on the porch. And I knocked on the porch that morning on the door and went in and got that old lady. We're walking back through that garden gate, and she's got me by the arm. She's totally blind. And we walk a few steps real slow, and she stopped, and she looked up at me like this, up the direction of my face. And she said, "Preacher," she said, "is my boy in hell?" Oh, I can still remember it like it's yesterday. She said, "Is my boy in hell?" I said, "Honey, was your boy saved?" She said, "No, preacher, my boy was never saved. Said he smoked dope all his life, drunk liquor. A rock fell on him up there in that mines, and he drug himself on the ground 2 miles out of that mountain." That's the hardest thing I ever had to deal with my whole life. I stood there a minute, and she said, "Preacher, is my boy in hell?" I said, "Honey, I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. I wouldn't break your heart for nothing. But if your boy wasn't saved, your boy's in hell." Tear come down her eyes. We walked on maybe 20 feet. And this is what she said. She said, "Preacher, would you pray that God let my boy out of hell?" I said, "Honey, if your boy's in hell, he's there forever." We went on, done the funeral, brought her back. She never said another word to me. When another word said. One of the reasons this evening I'm done, Brother Bowen, that we can't lay the cross down. There's somebody out there. There's somebody out there. There's somebody out there that you keep under that cross and you stick with the Lord. There'll be somebody that you'll never have to hear no mama say, "Is my boy in hell?" There was a lady. Can I just give an invitation quickly? Somebody come in just a minute, just before we start. There was a man, if you know him, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. It was a man that used to be here in Union, South Carolina. I preached a lot in this lady's church. Her name was Mrs. Juanita Barnado. Anybody ever know anybody named Barnado in this county? Mrs. Juanita Barnado. He was an official in this county, her husband, her boy. Many years ago, I preached several revivals in their church up in West Jefferson, North Carolina. Got acquainted with Miss Barnado. She was in her 90s at the time. Some months after I preached a revival there, she called me one day, and she said, "Preacher, you remember me? I'm Mrs. Barnado." I said, "Yes, Miss Barnado, I remember you." And she said, I need to ask you something." She said, "I'm saved, but would God let me go to hell if I wanted to? I said, Mrs. Barnardo, I don't understand what you're asking. And she said, I want you to pray that God would send me to hell. I thought she lost her mind. And I said, Mrs. Barnardo, tell me what you're saying. And she said, years ago, I fell in love with a boy. He was a Presbyterian boy. And she said, my mama told me not to marry him because he's a hard shell and didn't believe in the gospel. Never gave an invitation at the church. Never told anybody Jesus died for him. They need to get saved. And she said, everybody told me not to marry him, but I loved him and married him anyway. She said, we raised our family in the Presbyterian church that would never had an invitation, never heard any gospel. And she said, my boy was a certain soul, worked at a certain soul place in Union, South Carolina. She said, you know where that's at? I said, I do. And she said, my boy died yesterday with a heart attack, and he never did get saved. And she said, my boy is in hell. And she said, preacher, it's my fault. If I had just not married that boy, maybe my boy wouldn't be in hell. I want to tell you something this evening. I've not preached the greatest I've ever preached. But there may be somebody here that the load is just so heavy that you feel like just laying the cross down. But remember the price of your salvation. Remember the punishment of sin that sinners is going to have to endure. And I'll keep us going on. Let's all stand by to pray.